delegated authority part two. Delegated authority what? Part two. We started to talk about, and these things are very, very, very critical for you to listen. I said it on Sunday. It's important that you learn. It's very important that you learn. If you come to church at all, you come to Bible studies, whatever is worth doing is worth what? Go home with something. Go home with something. So we started to talk about delegated authority. But you know, a lot of Christians know that we have authority now. We always say, in Jesus' name this, in Jesus' name that. When we pray, we say, in Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. But you do know that not many Christians successfully use that authority. In spite of the fact that we call Jesus' name all the time, you know, it's kind of become what we say, what we say in prayer. So it kind of has become ritualistic. Not ritualistic. What's the better word? It has become a norm. It has become formality. So not many Christians experience success by the use of spiritual authority. And so you find that many Christians are overcome by things that shouldn't overcome them. We have character issues that are still dominating our lives. Who are circumstances that arise, you see the Christian saying, I bind you in Jesus' name, this you must. And that thing continues, and guess what? The spiritual authority they are trying to exercise didn't work. Not because it's not true, but we have to look at it and find why it's so. Amen? If you want to help yourself, if you don't succeed in something, don't sweep it under the carpet and forget it. Go to God and find out why that thing did not work. Because that will save you from greater disaster in future if you find out how. But if you don't find out how, and then a greater challenge comes in future, the same reason for which you failed here, we ruin you there. The same thing. So it's always good to go back to God and say, Lord, this thing ought to work because your word says so. So let me learn now why did it not work. So that's the way I learn. I go to God and say, this should work. So why didn't it work? And then he will teach me why. So, but if you sweep your failures under the carpet, pretending that it's working and saying, doing what you call confession, but it's not working, you're just deceiving yourself. When things don't work, you should be wise enough to know this is not working. They don't tell an adult to come out from the sun. The heat will tell him. When things are not working, be real. When you go to God and the Lord says, no, stand firm, then you stand firm. But when the Lord says, this is why it's not working, you should be humble enough to know this thing. It's a very simple thing that Christians should be doing. So a lot of these things don't work. Thousands trooping around looking for help. Man of God is coming to Newark. Thousands. People who should be matured, leaders in churches and groups, trooping around, going for a man they've never met. They are not even sure where the power is coming from and lining up. Why? Because they've been failing. And like I said, there's a lot of character issues in the church. In spite of the fact that scripture says sin shall not have dominion over you, but a lot of Christians, sin is dominating. And for that reason, a lot of well-meaning leaders in the church preach about sin and want to warn the church about committing sin. And we should. It is right to do that. It is proper. We should warn the church about committing what? It is proper. It is right teaching. It is sound doctrine to do that. So from time to time, we should do that. But however, that will not stop him from committing sin. If you stop there, you haven't helped him much. It might help a little bit. It might help a little bit for a while. But that your warning with time will be forgotten. And then he'll go back to, yes. Because the warning does not go to the source of the issue. There is a source. You have only done symptomatic treatment. What's symptomatic treatment? You kept quiet and speaking what you don't know. You didn't even ask. Symptomatic treatment is you treat the symptoms. But you have not treated you have not done causative therapy. Amen? So we said that one of the reasons that Christians are not able to successfully exercise spiritual authority is because of lack of understanding of basis on which they do that. And if you don't know the basis on which you are doing something, you can be easily challenged. And once you are challenged, you are going to succumb. Because you are not sure. You are not grounded in the reason why you should do this. And the devil will challenge you. He will try your faith. I told you on Sunday that the reason that the devil said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, and who are you? It's not because Paul was a big shot. No. It was because Paul was connected to Christ. And his faith in Christ was what? Strong. And the devil knew this guy's trust in Jesus is strong. And you don't mess with him. Paul knew his grounding in Christ was a gift of grace and a gift of righteousness, a gift, free gift. That grounding, that connection with God was a free gift that God gave him. So you couldn't talk him out of it. He will stand on it anytime, knowing that because of that connection with Jesus, he's connected to God and he's joined here with God and joined here with Jesus. He has access to all the privileges and resources of heaven. And he can use it anytime. Are you getting my point? But if you don't know that, the devil will talk you out of it with accusations of this and this and this and this. And then, when will you really be 100% perfect to use it? You never use it in this world. That's number one reason why many Christians don't, when they exercise authority, their faith is not strong. Because the devil challenges it. And because it doesn't happen immediately, they say it's not the will of God. They give it up. They don't press it. Because you got to what? Press it. The devil challenges our faith. Wigglesworth took a corpse, threw the corpse down, rebuked the spirit of death. The thing fell. And people say, "That stop that." Say, "Shut up, I know what I'm doing." Carry the thing up. I say you should. You spirit of death. The corpse. The thing fell again. Bidding corpse. Carried it up again. The fifth time, he said, I insist you must come to life. The person sneezed and came to life. You know what was happening? The devil was resisting his faith. And he knew that the devil was resisting him, but he pressed to the end. Think he won't resist you? You're kidding. You have no idea what's going on. Oh, yeah. So if you're not grounded in these things, and you are rebuking, this thing must go, and it's not going, because you are not grounded in it, your mind goes all directions. All directions. And you say, I have faith. You don't have faith in it. If you have faith, you should count it down, forget about it, and walk away. And you see it happen. So the lack of understanding of the gift of righteousness, which is the right standing to be connected to God through Jesus. When a Christian is not grounded in that truth, there's not much he can do. Honestly, there's not much. Because our life is full of holes here and there. There's not much he can do. Because the devil will see to it. That will attack you here. And then you now believe that there are people who are closer to God than you are. So you start waiting for them. When they come from Lagos, you go. If you think this one is from Abuja, you go. You know why you're doing that? You don't have confidence in your relationship with God. That's why you're doing that. The devil already convinced you that you are not accepted to God as much as they are. Is there any scripture that says that? I'm asking a simple question. Isn't Jesus our all foundation? Can I hear amen? Amen. See, that's why people trooping around. And sometimes run into demonic powers, deceit, what you can do yourself. You don't need any help. Praise the Lord. He was just sharing with me. He said, Pastor, amazing. He said, I ran into a lady at this park because he came back from exams and started to lose weight. So we have competition going. It's called the Battle of the Bulge. If you want to join, you can join. Two of us, the war is on. We are fighting weight relentlessly. I've started to drink vegetable now. I told Daddy, I said, Daddy, today the war starts. I was tempted to eat rice. The stew. I may still eat, I don't know, but the war is on. So he said, this lady told him, he said, I'm a Muslim. He said, but something is strange. He said, I read the Bible. I started reading the Bible, and I don't go to mosque again. He said, something is strange. He said, every time I name the name of Jesus, something happens. Ask him. He said, it's strange. He said, there's something in that name. There's something in that Jesus. Right? And he told him where he tried it. He said, they do voodoos and you know all these people. He said, once I say in Jesus' name, he said, something start happening around me. Now, this is somebody who doesn't even have connection that God is trying to show that this Jesus is real for you because it's a hidden. That God has come down to get her soul one, showing her that Jesus is real. But we that have the connection, to whom God has given the right to use that name, we use it, doesn't work. Because we don't really believe, we are not sure on the basis on which it will work for me. It will work for you because of the gift of righteousness. You know what the gift of righteousness is? A right standing with God. The right to God is the gift. It's a gift. A right to what? To God. To come and stand. And who connects you to God? Jesus. And you are connecting to Jesus. It's free. I was telling them at the prayer meeting, I said, God says, he said, I am the one that blotted out your what? Your sins and your iniquities, I will remember for my name's sake, not because of you. He said, I'm doing it because of who I am. I'm a God that showed it a message. He said, it is for my name what? Name's sake, not for you. I'm doing this out of my own volition because of who I am. So you must understand this. If you don't understand this, church, I can't help you more. Believe you me, even your prayer won't work. Because what you say in Jesus' name is just what you say. Just what you say. Praise the Lord. And that name is not talisman. It's not talisman. That you use like they use as talisman. So we must understand this, that if we don't know the basis on which you are doing something, if it is challenged, you throw in the towel quickly. But if you understand the basis on which you are standing and you are persuaded about it, you will insist on it. I'm telling you, you will what? Insist on it. When I speak to sicknesses and symptoms, I insist they are going. I insist. I mean, you must press. Come on. The person dealing with you is pressing back. So you press forward. I insist. And then I will overlook that thing. I don't care the pain. Or I will act like it's real. And before soon, to the glory of God, I won't even know where they went. Yesterday, I went to my heart pain from nowhere. So, like I fought with an angel. I said, am I in Jacob? Did I fight any angel? And then, you know, I just ignored it. But, you know, it was getting, I said to the devil, I said, now you have to take your hands off this body, okay? This body has been bought, paid for, in full. Don't touch it. I say in the name of Jesus, before I count three, take your hands off this body, right? And don't you touch it. That's all I said. Did you think the thing stopped? Continue that night, continue this morning. But I can run. I don't even know what it is. You watch out or walk and see whether it's your name. No, it's not there. I ignored it because I was convinced that the name of Jesus works. It's not whether will it work. I expected it to work, so I called it done. Took my eyes off the pain. Was so busy doing what I was doing, neglected it. That was Abraham did. He took his eyes off his body that was dead. He wasn't considering it anymore because he said he was fully persuaded that what God said is true. That's a proof of your faith. When you are fully persuaded, you take your eyes off this. But if you are looking at this, everybody that can say, bruh, I have faith though, but you know, if you see this thing, praise the Lord, I have faith. Don't have nothing. Don't know what they're talking about. Amen? Look at Romans 6:40. Oh my God, I don't have time here. You put this scripture, I didn't ask for it. Romans 6:40. For sin shall not have what? Dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Why is he talking like this? He says, sin shall not dominate you because in under grace, God has given you some privileges to handle it. So it should not dominate you. It should not rule over you. I don't want to talk whether it's ruling over a lot of people. And this is why, like I said again, a lot of well-meaning preachers don't talk about sin, urging the church to stop it. And like I said, we should. It is right to do so. It's beneficial. It has benefits. But if that's all you say, it doesn't have too much benefit. But does it have benefit? Of course. Amen? You get what I'm saying? It has benefit. Certainly it has benefit. And we should do that. But if that is all, that will solve the problem. They should know that sin should not dominate them. They should understand why. So that they can resist it. Because temptations will keep coming. If you tell me not to do it again, temptation will come now. If I don't know how, it will overtake me. Again. So we cannot set aside the grace of God. What God has provided for us in Christ, we cannot do without it. It's impossible to do without Jesus. It's not going to happen. It's totally what? Impossible. You cannot do without Jesus. Don't let the devil talk you out of this one. You can't set aside the grace of God. You can't neglect the grace of God. You cannot. Because it is through grace that God gave you all things that pertain to life and what? And you need to discover them and know them and apply them, believe them. You start walking. That's why I say sin shall not dominate you because you're under grace. Because through the grace of God, God has given you all you need to deal with that. So when the thing comes, you have what you need what? To deal with it. But if you don't know what you have, you don't know how to apply it, you'll be like a heathen who never really had anything. And that's why the Holy Spirit came to reveal Christ to us, to show us the things that are freely given to us so we can apply them, we can use them, we can live by them. But if I don't know them, I don't have the knowledge of Jesus, I don't understand what God has done, I think it's nothing, and I want to live this thing trying to be holy, it's nonsense. We'll go far. For the arm of the flesh will always fail you. What the employing has failed you before. And so the enemy will use some other things to try to stop us from knowing Christ, knowing these things, and so that our faith will not work. So he uses imaginations and arguments, human reasonings. 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians what? 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity how many things? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. All these imaginations, all these human ideas that don't line up with the knowledge of Jesus. The Bible says, don't let them run riot in your heart. Don't let them run loose. You got to bring them into subjection to the truth. You don't keep church. Listen to me. If you don't take care of a thought, that thought will be keep coming until it overwhelms you. You have to do something about the thought, because a thought has a source. It's coming from somewhere. You know how the Judas finally ended up doing what he was doing? The devil went and injected the thought into him. That's John chapter 13. To sell Jesus. He said, come on. The Bible says he injected that thought. And satanic thoughts don't come like, I'm telling you to do something. It coming like, I want. It's like your thought. Devil is so wicked. You think you are the one. You never know it's him. You will think you are the one. But it's him injecting the thought. So, I'm not going to Bible studies today. You won't know he's the one that is instigating you not to. You will think it's you, and he say, hey, I'm so tired. I have so many things to do. Do you know he's telling you that? That's the devil. But you won't know it's him. He comes impersonating like you. When he wants, he's a chameleon. He impersonates like a servant of Jesus. When he wants, he impersonates like you and talks like you. You are the one. But that thought is not in line with the word that says, do not forsake the what? Yeah. Yeah. Do you know the day God will say things that will change your life, the devil will fight you not to go. He will do everything to stop you from going there. Sinai was sharing with me. He said, Pastor, yesterday I came back so tired, so worn out, and I nearly didn't come for prayer meeting. But I told my wife, I said, we have to. And he said, what you taught yesterday revolutionized my prayer life. Right? Right? He said, oh, who else had it? Did it touch you? Was it something? Yes. He said, man, Pastor, that's something else. He said, I nearly didn't come. He said, see what I would have missed. But you were not here, so I'm not teaching it again. Yeah. That thing I taught yesterday works. It was a revelation God showed me about prayer and why people are not getting their prayers answered. You want to hear it? Go and sit down. Where were you yesterday? So all these imaginations and things, the Bible says, take them what? Captive. Don't let them roam in your heart and roam. Once that thing starts coming, say, no, that's to Satan. You fight thoughts with words. Don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You won't win. You fight thoughts with what? Because there is power in spoken word. Power in the word. You use words to fight thoughts. You don't fight. You don't sit there and say, the devil knows you're enjoying the thought. So he will bring more. Until the thing overwhelms you. But once you see this thought that's not in line with the will of God, you open your mouth and say, Satan, I rebuke you, take your thoughts and get out of it. That's what you need to do. If you don't do that, he knows you're enjoying the thought and he will keep bringing it. Praise the Lord. So there are thoughts that are not in line with the will of God, with the knowledge of Jesus. You come and say, and you begin to think, say, but this righteousness thing, it will make people commit sin. That's the devil. I'm not kidding you. That's the devil. Because the Bible says, when you have it, you can reign over sin. Now, this thought says, you are not going to, sin will reign over you. Who is saying the truth now? But you'll be thinking, it will make people commit sin. Make people do what they like. So you take them captive. And the Bible says, you will revenge this disobedience when your own obedience is what? Fulfilled. You know what I was talking about? When you obey this thing I'm telling you, when you fully follow this instruction, then you can wreck the devil, you can deal with him. You revenge this thing he wants to do to you. That's what he's saying. When your obedience is what? Fulfilled. When you follow this instruction to the fullest, when you do what I'm telling you here, then you can revenge with him, you can deal with him. Because he's trying to wreck your life. Look, let me read Message. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Message. Not from the beginning of chapter 3. Somewhere in the middle of chapter 3. I mean verse 3. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. Barriers. What do they call it? Barriers. You're not where I am. I passed where you are. I didn't read from that first line. It's about the middle. Ten-four, right? Yeah, this one has gone somewhere. It's gone to First Corinthians, so forget about it. Tearing down what? Barriers. What did he say we tear down? What I'm reading is it for? Yeah, the tools of our trade aren't for. No. The one that say we use our powerful God tools, that's where I am. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false. This is New Living Translation. This man is in the Old Testament. Let's forget it. Can you listen to me? Let me read my own. I can't wait for you. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies that are twisted, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. So the enemy erects barrier. And I told you that kind of thing, believe you me, when it develops that kind of stronghold in your heart, when they bring the teaching the truth, it comes up as a barrier truly. And what are they talking about? Boom, bam, it will be falling off. That's what it does. It's the real barrier he builds. Amen? And so Jesus said to Peter, you see, this idea of using human reasoning to interpret the word of God is a dangerous trap. And don't let the devil trap you into being so lazy that you are not going to study the Bible. And that the only tool you now have left is your human reasoning. If it traps you there, you are not going to make a lot of progress as a Christian. I'm telling you the truth. I don't say you are not going to be running around and be zealous and be praying a lot, but you won't see much result. I'm not kidding you. There are many Christians who are so zealous, but there is not much coming out of it. It shouldn't be so. It shouldn't what? So. Shouldn't be so. Praise the Lord. So when it comes to knowing Jesus, he will try to make you reason Jesus out. Try to make you use your human, instead of revelation from the Holy Spirit, you have interpretation from human spirit, from your head, from your intellect. You try to make that. And look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. So we have stopped, verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from what? I can't hear you. From what? Which means he used to do that. He said, well, I've stopped. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from human point of view. How differently we know him now. Brethren, I beg you. You don't think of Jesus from your human point of view. It will wreck your faith. The knowledge of Jesus must be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, nobody knows the Son except the Father. And he said, flesh and blood cannot teach you who I am. It's my Father that will teach you. You must get the revelation. You must get the knowledge of Christ by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil trap you into using your human reasoning. Because if you do, you will lose. Because that human reasoning is falsehood. It's not true. Because what God does not enter into the heart of a man. It doesn't come from man. It originates from God. That's why it is of God. It is of God, not of men. Because if it be of men, it will come to nothing. But because it is of God, it will stand. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So Paul said, I used to use my human reasoning. Who is Jesus? The Son of God. That, you remember what we used to do when we were children? Go to Sunday school. They'll give us a carabos to eat. And then talk to us about Jesus. We didn't have understanding. They didn't have understanding. We didn't have understanding. Even a lot of people who say, give your life to Jesus, they don't know Jesus at all. Who is Jesus? He died for us. It's what else? The Son of God. What else? He died for our sins now. Okay. What else? And Jesus is the entire Bible. He's the Word of God. From the first page of the Bible to the last, the theme of it is Jesus. Everything you see in the Old Testament is revelation of reality that Christ is. It's a shadow of reality, and the Bible says reality is Christ. Amen? Church, I said amen. In 2 Corinthians 10:7, Paul said, Do you look on things after the outward appearance? Do you use human reasoning to try to interpret the body of Christ? Do you use it to interpret your life? And so, like I was saying before, when very well-meaning leaders and preachers and pastors and very wonderful children of God, when they see that the church is sinful, it breaks their heart, and so they preach about sin a lot. They focus on it. And they teach people and say, a Christian ought not to do this. And like I said, it is the right teaching to do. People should be warned. People should be told that it's important that we do that because we forget easily. But after doing that, understand, brethren, that without renewing of the mind, there's no transformation. That the issues of life come from where? I didn't hear you. Come from where? From the heart. And it is the seed in the heart that's producing what you see. A man cannot transform except he has the seed of the Word of God. Transformation is not done by human beings. It's done by the Holy Spirit. Through revelation. The entrance of the Word giveth light and gives what again? Understanding. And gives you wisdom. He said, the fear of God is learned from the mouth of God. So, I need to have more than don't do this to be able not to do this. Because you need to come to the source. What is producing what you are seeing is a seed. Because every seed produces after its kind. Are you getting my point? So, what you see happening is a seed I have. Until that seed is deleted, I'll be doing what I'm doing. Because our life is a product of what we have inside. Jesus said, if you want to change the tree, he said, change the fruit. You change the tree. Then the fruit will also change. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we must understand that the real seed that produces life is the knowledge of Christ. Because in him is life. The real seed that produces real life is the knowledge of who? Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's the truth. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. When you begin to eat on the manna from heaven, when you begin to feed on who Jesus is, your eyes of understanding will be popping open. And you begin to see yourself and see what you have. See who you are. See what God has done. Because the devil convince you that you're an ordinary person. But when you come and find in Christ and discover that, whoa, you are no more an ordinary person. You are now a peculiar person. You are now a royal priesthood. And now, since you don't have dominion over it. And but you begin to know these things and your mind is beginning to renew, and then you are beginning to believe them as a man begins to think, his life begins to what? Change. It's a simple thing. It's not difficult. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I used to have issues with anger before. A lot. And I used to, I went to church where legalism was the foundation. So they will preach to us about these things. And I knew it was wrong. I knew I did that. And I'll be sad about it. And the worst is that when I did it again, I would be so angry with myself. And to forgive myself, we take another 1 week. And before that 1 week, I've done another one. And there were a lot of things. I certainly didn't have virtue at all. Even when I came to this country, I didn't have it. I'll stay in church and deal with people right there. But something began to happen. Praise the Lord. I went to God. I said, we are not changing. I said, I'm not changing. I said, I won't pastor again. I said, I don't want to deceive people. I said, Lord, no, I'm leaving. I said, I don't want to do something that my conscience can't take. I'm not pastoring anymore. I said, I'm not changing. The people I'm preaching to are not changing. So what's the use? Find somebody who knows what is doing. I said, I'll sit there. I'm going to look for work. I'm done. And I sought God for 40 days. Every day I was sitting there talking to God. I said, Lord, this is not working. Something is wrong. And God let me get frustrated so that I was seeking for this direction. He said to me, he said, you're teaching them what to do. Do you think they don't know what they're doing is wrong? He said, you're not bringing any new information. He said, you're teaching them what to do. And they're living by works. I didn't understand all of that. He said, why don't you teach them what to believe? He says, it is faith in my son that overcomes this world. I said, really? He said, greedy. Faith in Jesus overcomes what? This world. He said, without faith, they have no victory at all. And what they are facing is a force. It's a force. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, okay, so what do I do? He said, you teach my son Jesus. So their faith in him will grow. And the more they know him, the more the Spirit of God is transforming that life, including your own. So I came and thought about Jesus. Thank God you people didn't know. I didn't last one sermon. So I went back to God. I said, Lord, I don't know your son. He said, I wanted you to find out. He said, since you became a Christian, how many times has anybody taught you about my son? He said, Christians think that I gave my son for people to join their church. Once they've joined their church, they keep my son somewhere and start teaching them Moses. He said, but it's in him you live and move and have your... They don't even know their being in him. They don't even see anything. He said, you know he's the light that lightens everybody. Moses is not the light. And I said to God, you need to open my eyes of understanding. The first thing God taught me was the gift of righteousness. He said, you've been trying to connect with me by your good works. It's filthy rags. He said, the only connection to me is my son. Oh, praise the Lord. I still didn't understand this thing, brethren. I struggled months. I said, what is this? And suddenly, I realized that without it, I couldn't overcome this thing. That without it, I have no connection with God. That my only connection to the power that will help me overcome it is Christ himself. Are you getting my point? So when I started to yield to it, and occasionally something will come again, I said, this thing will make you sin. I'll say, yeah, I'll go back again. It was a battle over time. I said, what am I supposed to do now? Supposed to do something. And God will keep quiet. I said, the one you've been doing before, what did you get out of? It's not by power. It's not by might. But by my... Did you think I understood it? I didn't. Until finally my eyes popped open. Whoa! You have to enter into the rest of God and let him do that which is impossible with me. Brethren, believe you me, gradually, things happen. These things that before I would have been, heat would have been coming out of my head. Things happen, I don't even notice it. I just don't notice it. And I found joy in loving people. I realize that you can't have the fullness of joy unless you love like Jesus. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. I said, praise the Lord. Yeah. What I'm teaching you is what I've tested. I've tested it. It works. I don't make effort to live. All I try to do is to study to know more of Jesus so my faith will be growing. My faith will be what? Growing. And the more I know him, the more the Spirit of God is building my life with the word of God that is revealing to me. Praise the Lord. So, all this, we talked about false doctrine, right? Did we talk about, we talked about thoughts and imaginations that are not in line with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, he will try to use false doctrines to wreck our faith. And Paul said to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4:16, am I communicating anything? 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He said, watch the doctrine. Watch the doctrine you believe. If it is wrong doctrine, it will wreck your life. He said, when you watch the doctrine you believe, then you will save yourself, Timothy, and save those you are teaching. Because something wants to wreck your faith and your life. Timothy is already saved. But he said, if you don't watch the doctrine, you'll be wrecked. And people you teach will also be wrecked. So he said, watch the doctrine you believe. It is to be regretted that Christians are not watchful. And they wonder what's happening to them. People, Jesus said, watch and what? And we hear it and we think it's not. We just go from place to place. Anywhere you hear Jesus, you go and sit in front. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to tell me how you are not going to be confused. Just explain. How will your faith work? Just tell me. The help of God is not coming from how many places you went to. It's coming from one thing. Only believe. And you will see that the devil is pushing you around because of ignorance and low level of knowledge of Jesus. And because of that, anywhere they fall down, you go. And you don't know what you are drinking. Line up later. I've had all manner of nonsense that people do. I hear a lot. Because when people run into trouble, come to pastor. The pastor, let me tell you, I went. You went, yeah. Go now, solve it. One came to me once. He said, pastor, I'm tired of midnight prayer. He said, I won't sleep. Every night I wake up. And I'm tired of it. He said, my life is ruined. He said, things that have not been happening are now happening to me. I said, simple, stop. You don't have to come to me. If you know how you got there, do what? Get out of there. Why are you coming to me? I've had people who have received so-called miracle, their lives became worse than before. I've had them. Their life became worse because the devil has nothing good to give you. He comes to kill. Still, he can do miracles for you, but the purpose of that is to wreck your faith. That's why he said it. To perpetuate you in that lie. To make you believe that lie until the thing wrecks your faith. So Christians are just not careful. How can you not be careful? When the Holy Spirit is warning the church that in these last days that there will be a lot of what? Demonic doctrines. Why are you not careful? Why? Is it not for your life? And Jesus said, be careful how you hear. He said, in the last days, many will come in my name. Saying, I am what? You know, one brother called me yesterday, asked me a question. He said, Jesus said, not those who say, not everyone who said, Lord, Lord, shall what? Enter. I said, but those who do the will of my Father. He said, who are those? I said, all these false people calling Lord, Lord. They're everywhere. I said, do you need me to tell you? They're everywhere. They are wolves. Paul called them wolves in sheep's what? I said, they're there. Anointing, touch my leg. I have special anointing to do this. In fact, because of that, I'm going to tell you now, my shoe, you can touch it. All that rubbish is, it's so not certain. Want to vomit. It's rubbish. It's nonsense. I've never seen a thing like that. Let me tell you something. Do you know the miracle that God did through Paul? The Bible called it a special miracle. It wasn't a normal way of God to operate. He said God did special what? If the Holy Spirit says something is special, it means it's not the normal way I do things. Is it only handkerchief? Do your shadow too now? Because Peter's shadow healed people. But do you know that in spite of it, Peter's shadow, in spite of the cloth, even Paul's co-worker was dying of sickness, Paul could not heal him. Paul said, this man nearly died. He said, finally, God has mercy on me because I was going to really sorrow for his loss. Why didn't the handkerchief heal him? Those things don't work. They work only as the Holy Spirit wants and for purpose he wants. Because he cannot take you away from the word of God. He cannot. Because the just shall live. Yes, he's not taking you away from the word of God. He wants you to live by it. Because that's what grows you, makes you mature, so that he can hand things over to your hand. It's not only miracle you are a Christian for. It's so that you serve Jesus. People are dying and no, people are not preaching the gospel because the gospel is not being explained. It's not being explained and people don't understand it. What you don't understand, what you are not experiencing, what is the motivation to tell somebody? None. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:15. Second Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself, therefore, now approved unto God. You see, you have to study, Timothy. You have to study. Tell your neighbor, you have to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more. You know what is calling all those useless talks? Vain babblings of people. It says it will make you ungodly. That's what it will do. It will make you ungodly. It will make you rebellious. You think you know anything. You don't know anything. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. 17. And their word we eat as doth a canker. A canker is a cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus, and who again? Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is passory. And what did that teaching do? Overthrew the faith of some people. You see what wrong doctrine does? It ruins your faith. Look up here, let me tell you something. You know, I don't have to argue with you. I don't have to. If what you are imbibing is not truth, when challenges of life come, you will not be able to succeed. If what you are listening to and feeling yourself is not the truth of God, when real challenges come, you see what you've done to yourself. You owe it to yourself to be sure that what you are believing is the truth of the word of God, because that's the only thing that will build your faith to give you victory when things happen. Otherwise, you can be saying, I'm doing it. Be doing that for... Be doing that. When real challenges come, you really find that you are afano. That is, you are, what's afano? Ordinary intestine, that's nothing. Believe you me, ordinary intestine, that's nothing. No strength, can't stand, nothing. Nothing to fall upon. And you know who did that? Because what you have is not the light. It's not the truth. And you will not listen. You follow that thing, and now trouble has come. It can't build faith in you. Instead, it confuses you the more. That's why Paul said to Timothy, watch the doctrine. Because if you watch it, you can save yourself from these things that is happening in this world. And then save those that what? Hear you. Amen? So he says, never... who concerning the truth have saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Do you know what he's saying? Depart from these wrong doctrines that these people are spreading. It's iniquity. God said, I hate wrong doctrines. He said, I hate it. It's a satanic something. He said, you name the name of Christ, depart from these wrong doctrines. It will wreck your faith. It will overthrow your faith. It will ruin your life. Get out of there. I said, Pastor, there's anointing there. Oh, enjoy yourself. And he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, these wrong doctrines that is being spread, if you purge yourself from these that is being spread, then he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Can I hear amen? Amen. And so the scripture says we should guard our hearts with all. Why? Because out of it comes issues of our life. That's what I'm saying. Your character won't change until what is in your heart changes. It's the seed you sow that produces the fruit. If what you have in you is a wrong teaching, it's not the truth, your life will be a lie. That's what it's going to be. There are no two ways about it. If what you have in you is not the truth, your life will be a what? A lie, because you have a lie in you, it produces a lie. But if you have the seed of the word, the truth in you, it will produce the truth. I didn't say that. Read it for yourself, Proverbs chapter 4. Read it for yourself. My son, attend, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, verse 22. For they are, what are they?
Life.
Come on, church. What are they?
Life.
What is life? It produces the life after the word. The seed you have produces the life. They are life. They are life. Come on, say it with me.
They
are life. That's what the thing is. It produces the life. He said it is life itself. He said, keep it. It will produce life. It will change your circumstances. That's why the scripture says, if your mind is renewed with the truth, then your life is transformed according to that. You know, I was talking to the men about pride, how the thing ruins people's life. And then he says, not only is it life, what else is it? It is held to some of their flesh, all their flesh. Keep now their heart with all this. I've told you now, you have to keep my word. Keep your eyes on it and keep it in your heart, which means meditate on it. Don't forget it. He said, when you do that, it produces life, changes you without effort, produces this. Are you going to be perfect? No, because you're not perfect in knowledge yet. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear anything. You're not perfect in knowledge yet. You are growing in that knowledge. But the more you grow in the knowledge of Christ, I keep emphasizing this. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul said there is nothing to compare with the excellency of knowing Christ. No knowledge. No knowledge. No, you can't teach me anything that compares with the knowledge of Christ. Nothing. And he said to Corinthians, when I come there, he said, all I want to know is Christ and him crucified. He said, keep everything somewhere. You want your life changed? Know Jesus. You see the Holy Spirit reveal to you wonders of Christ. He will reveal to you. You are like, are you serious? You will see what God did in Christ is beyond human imagination. There's no way human brain can articulate it. It's a master plan. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
It's a what? Master plan that takes a man from dunghill and puts him to a place of glory and keeps him there. That's what God did. Takes a man from a place of defeat and puts him in a place of glory. Amen. And then, but if one is empty of the word, when one is empty of the word, he becomes like the Pharisees. He ends up a hypocrite. When one is empty of the word, you won't study the word, you won't study it. You don't even want to be taught, and so you'll be empty. John 5:37. John 5:37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, had borne witness of me. He said, the Father himself, which has sent me, had what? Had borne witness of me. So the Father is bearing witness about Jesus. Witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. He said, this witness my Father is giving. You are not hearing. Continue. Continue. And you have not his word, what? Abiding in you. For whom he has sent him, you believe not. Said, the witness of my Father about me, you are not listening. You are not taking in the truth. You know the scripture says about them. He said, they have blocked their ear so that in hearing, they will not hear. And they see. And so they were empty. Verse 39. Search the scripture. I say, you people, search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life. But there are the things which testify about me. He said, my Father is talking about me. The scripture is talking about me. I'm the subject of all these things. But you don't want to hear about me. But you know what they had? The law of Moses. They clung to it. They said, well, Moses, we know God spoke to him. But this man, we don't know where he's coming. So every time they go to him, tell us by whose authority. He says, I've told you before, you didn't believe me. How am I telling you again? So they clung to it. They were full of the law of Moses. Brethren, it's a tragedy that today is still happening. There are people who don't want to hear about Jesus. You know what they want to hear? The laws. You know how the Pharisees ended up? Hypocrites. Because the word they had in them is not the life-producing word. The law does not produce life. The Bible said the law produces death. The word they had that would have produced life is not what they didn't have the knowledge of Jesus. So he said, you don't have my word in you. So they ended up being what? Come on, church, what? That's what happens. When you don't have the word in you, when you come to church or when you go to fellowship, you are a Mr. Holy. Anywhere you are, you act. But this side of you, do you know what Jesus meant when he said to them that inside of you is dead man's bone? Do you know what he means? He's telling them that there is no life. You have death. There is no word of God that gives life in you. You don't have God in you at all. That's what he's starting to take it. I'm telling you. When he's telling them, he said, you are full of dead man's bone. What he's telling them, you are full of death. There is no life. You don't have the knowledge of me. I give life. He said, you refuse to come to me. So you have what? Life. So now inside of you is death. So all these things you are trying to pretend, do that you are good, concerning the law, perfect. He said, no. Inside is death. You are full of dead man's what? Bones. He said, you are a hypocrite. Because you are acting what is not inside. And where is God looking? Inside. Where God is. Because you know, we are satisfied when people say we are so good and we think we are good. Isn't it something that will worry us? Because we all know how the inside, our inside is. And we work on it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I have 3 minutes. I want to show us something that the knowledge of Christ does. Matthew chapter 8 from verse 5. Brethren, I want to show us something. It's interesting. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. Now listen, this centurion is not a Jew. It's not a Jew. And so was never taught. This centurion was not a Jew. He was a Roman soldier. Roman general. So he wasn't sitting under the rabbis. But there was something he knew that the rabbis didn't know. And he made a difference. Look at him. So when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Grievously what? Tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. If Jesus says I'm coming to my house, I will stop teaching Bible studies and run home, and I will stay on the road until I see him coming. You know, Christians are rushing after men of God. This one, Jesus said, I'm coming. The man said, don't come. I mean, think of it. Who among us, tell me even now, if Jesus appeared to you and said, I'm going to your house, will you tell him not to come? You say, please, are you staying? How long are you staying? You know, the only problem is telling me, you know, my bedroom, I've not cleaned the under seats. So there are cockroaches there. Brethren, look at verse 8. I want to show us something, please. The centurion answered and said, Lord. What did they call him? I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but do what? Speak the word only, and my servant shall be. Why is he talking like that? For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I said to this one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. You know what he's saying to Jesus? I know your word is full of authority. I also exercise military authority. When I see authority, I know it. Your word is authority. That's all I want. Speak it, it will work. You see what the knowledge of Jesus does? Because he knew Christ and knew that his word was full of what? Authority. So you don't have to come. Speak the word only. Don't even wave your hand. Just speak the word only. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. But some of you want pastor to come and touch you and do this. Do this. And when we say you are healed, you're standing like, they are like, what is it talking about? Praise the Lord. Are you getting my point? The rabbis, they didn't know what he knew. But who got the miracle? Him. Why? He knew Christ. He said, you have a, whoa, your word is full of, I'm a commander. Man, I've watched, it means he's been watching Jesus, really. He's not listening to the rabbis who were questioning Jesus. He was following Jesus around and watching Jesus say things. He watched Jesus cast out demons in the synagogue. He taught his person. He said, man, this guy has authority because that's the way I command soldiers. Amen? One more. Acts 3:16. Acts 3 what? And his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you. This is Peter saying, you know, I know this power in his name. It is faith I have in that name that made this man to walk. You see what knowing Jesus does? When you know him, your faith can walk at the level where his glory is being revealed to you by action. That's what Jesus said. Only believe that you will see the glory of God. Haven't these people seen the glory of God? I'm asking a simple question. No, the question now is, do you know Jesus to the extent of these people? They'll say, I know his name. He works. The law of Moses can't teach you this. You can't enjoy victory. You can't have faith to overcome unless you know who he is. When you know who he is, then you will know the power in the word he told you. Every word he spoke to you, you will know that there is no word of Jesus that is devoid of power. You will know his word is truth. You find out that his word is yea, yes. You will find that out. Like they found out it has authority, you will find it is truth. His word is truth. And if he says so, it is so. And you can believe it. Praise the Lord. But if you don't know him enough, the enemy will challenge you by showing you things happening around you. Please listen to me. You know what the enemy does? He uses your reasoning. And how he connects your reasoning is to make you walk by sight. But the Holy Spirit wants you to walk by. So the enemy comes and says, you say you have the gift of righteousness. Look at your life. You see? Look. Look at your life. Look at your life. Use your eyes. Use your what? Eyes. And then you say, yeah, I can see. Yeah, I'm not up to par. You see what he's done? You're not walking by faith now. You're walking by sight. He has wrecked your faith. Your faith has been incapacitated. Because now you're walking by human reasoning, by what you see. You can extrapolate it to any situation in your life. And I want you to watch out and see what I'm telling you if it's not true. Anytime the devil wants to wreck your life, he will point you to what you see. Is that true or false? That's where he's going. He will point you to what you see. Say, you pray, this thing is to help you. See the pain is there. He's pointing to what you see. But the Holy Spirit doesn't point you to what you see. He points you to what Christ has done. Because he came to reveal Jesus to you. Praise the Lord. Is anybody following me? But if you don't want to know who Jesus is, how can he point you to who Jesus is when your eyes is glued to what you see and what people are telling you who walk by sight? How can you have faith to overcome? How can you exercise spiritual authority when you are walking by sight? It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. I want us to bow our heads.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.